Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here on the Panther Rants podcast. It's Wednesday, hump day. And we got probably about a good 6, 7, 9 week till Christmas, I believe. Yeah, actually 6 days. So, I hope you guys all got your shopping done. Mine's almost done. I think I ordered most of mine online, and I'll go to the stores and pick up some stuff because a lot of times there's stuff you can find there that you may miss online. That's kind of one thing I miss about Toys R Us is Toys R Us always had stuff that they always had stuff that you couldn't find anywhere else, usually, or get anywhere else, or any other department store. I mean, people complain that the stuff with their toys are overpriced, but just the general experience of going inside of a big toy store was an awesome thing, especially as a kid. And then when you have kids and you take them in, that's an awesome experience because they're in freaking awe because there's always displays and shit and. But by the time Toys R Us could, you know, move at the times a little bit, it was too late. And plus, a lot of stuff I ordered online was from Toys R Us because I knew the shipping was a lot easier. And if I had to, I could pick up at the store. But anyways, it's been a busy week for me personally, so I haven't really been keeping up too much. Let's see, Pit Hoops, they got their funk and beat the crap out of a cupcake team on Saturday. Yeah, they regrouped and got the win. You know, things will get tougher as things go, and not to mention they lost one of their players, Sadi and Deer, I guess you, I think that's how you pronounce his name, or City and Deer. I don't know. I don't want to butcher his name too much, but he's out 4 to 6 weeks, which kind of sucks because Pitt is pretty much, you know, dealing with some things. They got, two guys transferred, and they got an injury, so you're pretty much thin right now. ACC play is coming up, and you're kind of, well, shit out of luck. You know, Pitt had two guys leave. There was Peace. He left. And, you know, judging by the words from from Jeff Capel, that, you know, he was very blunt and said the guy just didn't rebound. And given what Peace is supposed to do, you know, what his position is, their expectation is he has to get he has to rebound, pretty much. And he just wasn't doing it. And that's why he didn't get no playing time. And that's why he's gone. And I'm guessing there must have been, because, you know, Peace has his Twitter on private. And, you know, from the words of Jeff, from the coach, I don't know if that relationship was too rosy between them two. Maybe Jeff, you know, maybe Cable wasn't too pleased with him. With his performance, and that happens. I mean, he told these guys what he expected, from the time he came in, that they were gonna have to work, they were gonna practice hard, play hard, score hard, rebound hard. You guys know the drill. Plus, we have a new coach. Even if you're especially a job, if you have a new manager, you're gonna have to work twice as hard. to show them your worth. Because a lot of times when you get new bosses in, they just want to get rid of you and bring their own people in. But they don't like what they see. And, you know, when Stallings came in, that's what happened. Pretty much he cleaned house. And Capel, to his degree, he could have easily just told these guys, I don't want you here, get the hell out. He kept them. They stayed. And, you know, very few have panned out. I mean, Terrell Brown, Jerry Wilson Frame have done, you know, have panned out. Kenny Chukwuma has panned out. So we got that going for us. I mean, Malik Ellison. So most of these guys from the Stallings, you know, era, the brief Stallings era, they've panned out. Most of them. There's just a few stragglers. I mean, of course, Peace was one of them, and he really didn't have any major offers coming out of school. And pretty much, I guess you could say he was a body. But I think Peace can pan out. I think he can still be a Division I player. It's just not a Pitt. That's just how it is. But he's going to have to rebound. Like Capel said, wherever he goes, he's going to have to rebound. He's going to have to play his ass off. And that's pretty much when you're a Division I athlete, that's what you have to do, is play your ass off, practice your ass off. That's just how it goes. And because they don't stop recruiting. Just because they signed you doesn't mean they're going to stop recruiting more power forwards, more centers, and especially in the football realm. If they recruit a quarterback, they're going to stop recruiting quarterbacks all of a sudden and say, hey, we got what we want, we're going to stop recruiting. They're going to keep recruiting. That's how this goes. And then the best man wins. As far as Sham goes, he was their second leading scorer last year, and I had a lot of high hopes for him. I thought he was going to be, you know, I thought he was going to be really good as time progressed. And obviously with Capel wasn't too pleased with him. And from what I gathered, since he was like one of the best players last year, I guess he must have felt that he had to either work too hard and he was going to get some special privilege. And he didn't. And that's how that goes. I think Capel really liked, you know, Sham. I think he really did. Because he's not putting restrictions on him, his recruiting process. And, you know, he wants to be successful. So I've got no issues with that at all. I mean, obviously he obviously likes this guy, wants the best for him. It just wasn't going to work out here. But I think these guys probably got along with each other and had an understanding. And that's how that goes. I don't think things were too rosy with Peace, but I could be wrong. As more things come out, you know. But that's two for the Stallings era to bite the dust. And, you know, that happens. I mean, I was not too pleased with the last Parker Stewart, Marcus Carr. I love that Parker Stewart because he's a hell of a shooter. We could really use him. Marcus Carr wasn't too, you know, sad that we lost. I mean, it sucked, but after we landed Xavier Johnson, after seeing him play. And of course, there's Trey McGowan's after got those guys. I wasn't really too concerned. Because these guys are light years ahead of them in talent. I think Marcus Carl, I think the Big Ten is more probably going to be more his speed. Parker went to go play with his daddy, so I'm not sure how that ends up. You know, either way, hope it works out for them. But in it's a long basketball season, so like everything else, you guys, we take one game at a time. All right, now for football. The early sign day is today, so obviously we're getting some new recruits coming in. They're signing. Bevel obviously signed. And it was funny because they showed him in an all-star game airing the ball at. And I asked the columnist or whoever was covering the game, I said, how's he look hanging off the ball? Because, you know, that's the most important thing about our offense is running the football. And, you know, he said that he fumbled. I was like, whoops. I've been riding this whole run game thing to the ground. This whole joke about the, you know, running game. And on hindsight, Travis Kuntz, as we all remembered, was still interested in Pitt despite decommitting. He ends up going to Texas Tech because he likes what they're going to do. What their offense is going to do with the tight ends. Because obviously, the guy who used to coach Texas Tech, Kingsbury, did the air raid, and he's gone now after an unimpressive record. And I got this guy from Utah State coming in, and I guess, you know, Kuntz likes what they're doing, and he wants to be more than just a blocking tight end, and I don't blame him. You know, tight ends catch passes too. You know, you see it with Travis Kelce, Gronk, Vance McDonald, Jesse James, Tony Gonzalez. You see a bunch of these tight ends, they can block, but they can catch passes, and that's what he wants to do, and he wants to, you know, improve his skill set, and you can't blame him for it. So he's going to do it. So best of luck to him. Wish we could have had him, but of course, we have one of the most unimaginary offenses in the history of college football. Despite having a good, finally having a good defense. I don't know what it is with Pitt football. When we have a really good offense, we never have any fucking defense. And then when we have some defense, we had no fucking offense. Our offense is fucking shitty. So I don't understand. It just blows my freaking mind why we can't get all the goddamn pieces together. Ever. You know, with the Dave Wanstead era, it was always we didn't have the right players for that position. You know, we could have a whole unit on defense that was, and eight of those guys could have been all freaking Big East selections, but it's the three shitty ones on the unit that are that end up being our biggest weakness, and hence we can't win enough freaking games to go to a BCS. Now in this case, we have one really good solid unit, and then the other unit fucking blows. I don't know what the hell it is with Pitt football. What keeps happening? I thought our offense was gonna be really good this year because what we saw Pickett last year, but it just got progressively worse. And I don't know what the hell to do, guys. I'm all out of answers at this point, and I mean I had none to begin with. I'm no frigging coaching expert anyway. They don't pay me nothing for this. But anyways, we got guys coming in. I'm sure we got the late signing period coming up, but, you know, so we have to, you know, try hope and grab some more players. But that's just how it is. All right, there's a lot more other tidbits from football. Obviously, James Conner, Aaron Donald are going to the Pro Bowl. Those are two of the top of my head, and the reason why I say that is because, you know, there was a text exchange that got posted, I guess, from when I guess James was diagnosed with Hodgkin's. But yeah, good for James. He earned it. I mean, I'm sure he's very popular because of his story. But he backed up with his play as well. and you can't really blame, you know, you can't really say, well, he was a special case because of this. No, he backed up his play. And he's a big reason why this team is over 500 right now. Because without him, they wouldn't be. It'd be the Mike Tomlin free fall disaster that were times 1,000 or 1,000,000 if we had a losing record. Because people would be itching to get him fired. And like I said before, it's going to take a lot to get Tomlin fired. Because for one thing, we had two losing seasons with Bill Cowher, he got fired. I mean, he had a lot of stuff dragged out in the, you know, about his personal life that wasn't true, and that's a shame. It was, but he overcame it, and one to a point where he had to say that him and his wife were fine. But as far as the whole race goes, I mean, obviously people thought that the NFC was going to be the Rams, but Rams look pretty beatable. I mean, outside of Aaron Donald, their defense really isn't that great. And if you get leads, if you get some nice leads on them, I'm not sure if Jared Goff can really rally enough to do it. Although they came close late in the game against Philly the other night, but they're a beatable team. Obviously, the Super Bowl is going to ride through New Orleans because of how high powered their team is. They showed at the Super Bowl last year, but really, you know, they had some bad luck with the. They kept Minnesota in the game, and then Minnesota led. And then, you know, Saints were able to grab the lead, and of course, Minnesota made them cry. But things are different this time around because Minnesota has Kirk Cousins, and they gave him all that money that was fully guaranteed. And I'm not sure why they would have given Kirk Cousins all that money, because I just don't think he was worth it. He had the thing about Kirk Cousins, he had plenty of offensive weapons around him in the Washington. And he was pretty much a sub 500 quarterback. He was he was pretty much an 8-8, 7-9 quarterback, or 9-7. There was never a below or a far above. The guy had plenty of weapons around him to throw the football and win games, and he put up big numbers, but he just, you know, it just wasn't enough wins. You know, it seemed like the Skins were seemed to turn a corner with Alex Smith, and then Smith, you know, busted his leg, and that sucks. But, I mean, the Skins were obviously going to make the playoffs with Alex Smith. They just, you know, I just hope they weren't expecting any more with Alex Smith, because he just is what he is. I think the sensible thing would have been the more sensible thing would have been to franchise Case Keenum and give him some money. Is what I would have did or done. And then see where Case Keenum takes you from there, because you won a whole bunch of games with him. He came up really short against Philadelphia, but Philadelphia was last year was. They were clicking on all cylinders at that point, and there was nobody that was going to get in their way at that point. It just wasn't going to happen. Other Pitt football tidbits. Well, not so much tidbits, but Bill Frelick, you know, passed away last week. And, you know, I posted what I saw in the College Football Hall of Fame with Bill Frelick. Bill Frelick had a video as well where he talked about college football, but what it meant to him and you know, the sport in general, how it made him grow as a human being, and how how he carries experiences with them. I just, you know, I could tell something was up with him even then, because he just looked like he really aged. And they said he was fighting he was really sick. He was fighting a really tough battle with cancer, I think the timing of it was, you know, Penn Hills won the state title, and he was there for that. And I guess he spent a whole bunch of money on them too. I guess bought him some things, and he took care of that team. And that's just how, you know, he was. He had a lot. You know, the guy had a really big heart. And, you know, with Pitt football, he had a really big heart with Pitt football as well. He was very passionate about it. I know when Dave Wanstead was fired, he was really, really pissed off over it, and he made his grievances known. And I think and then not too long after that, he was replaced in the announcer's booth with Pat Bostic. And I'm sure Smiley had something to do with that. Because you know, Smiley wasn't really falling for criticism. It's, you know, but the guy, he loved Pitt. I mean, he wasn't such Pitt football. He loved Pitt. Obviously, he loved Penn Hills as well. It just, you know, it's sad. I mean, you see the tributes and stuff. I remember Bill Frelick when he did the WrestleMania 2, and I remember seeing the promo for it and everything else. And I remember, Bill Frelick could have been a wrestler if he wanted to. He had the personality for it. I can say that much for it. He could have really did it. But WrestleMania 2 is pretty much, you know, a lot of people talk about WrestleMania 3 and how awesome it was because of, you know, the Pontiac Silverdome and 96,000, Hogan and Giant. But WrestleMania 2 was really good too. And it was, and WrestleMania 2 spanned in like the three or four cities. So you have matches in every city. And of course your headliner was Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy in the steel cage. And that was a really, really good match because at one time nobody could beat King Kong Bundy. I mean, the guy wasn't tall, but he was bulky and big and strong. But you know, Hogan took care of him. But, you know, Frelick did that whole football players versus wrestlers battle royal. He was in that. Jimbo Covert was in that as well. That was another pit guy that was in that battle royal. And, of course, you had Ernie Holmes was in it. William Perry. Too Tall Jones. So, yeah, you had plenty of wrestlers in there. I mean, plenty of football players, you know. And he had Russ Francis. I believe he was on the 49ers, I think. But, you know, Bill obviously had a lot of respect from a lot of people and just, you know, on tributes. I mean, it was nice. But, you know, rest in peace, Mr. Frelick, is all I can say. And, you know, thank you for being a Pitt Panther. Now, as far as the Pitt Bowl game goes, for the Sun Bowl, obviously there's a hot topic going around, and that is players sitting out the bowl games, and obviously we saw with Will Greer, he's sitting out, and there's people that are pissed off over it. But now Bryce Love has thrown his name into the ring, and he's not going to play in the Sun Bowl against Pitt. Which I don't blame him, because he's going up against a really good defense, and you know, anything can happen. So I don't really blame him for sitting out. It's the Sun Bowl, and there's really nothing at stake for him. I mean, sure, he's got the draft coming up, but they have enough game film on him already. One more game isn't going to mean a damn thing. And then, not to mention, he's got the combine, he's got the Wonderlic, he's got all the interviews, all that crap he's got to deal with. That's going to determine pretty much other factors that are going to determine his draft status of what round he lands in for the most part. And what team he ends up with. So really this game has no meaning whatsoever for him, so he's sitting out. And I don't blame him either for it. You know, players do get hurt in bowl games, and we've seen that in many times, like, you know, Cole McCoy, Willis McGahee, Ted Ginn, Those are a few of them that the where the guys just got hurt in that bowl game where they possibly could affect their draft status. I mean, Willis McGain at least took a big insurance policy on himself in case he got hurt. So he had that going for him. But yeah, it's tough. It's a tough call. But anyways, guys, the bowl game obviously got a little bit easier for us, but it's not because Stanford's not a bad team, and although they had a disappointing season this year, I guess you could say by their standards, and given what they had coming back, still it won't be an easy game. Pitt's got to find some way to throw the football here, and I hope they figure that out. I mean, they got plenty of weeks to figure out the passing game because obviously whatever they did didn't work against Clemson. But there's got to be something in there that can work. Something. Otherwise, the passing game's been problematic for some time. It's just rearing its ugly head, and here it is. And, eventually they're going to have to face this head on, and here it goes. Because this team could have won more than 7 games this year if they would have had an offense. An official one. Not just one where they run were able to run the ball. But one that could put freaking points on the board. So I don't think they get that all worked out. So anyways, guys, that's all I got for now. Enjoy the rest of your week. I'm not sure if I'll do a Friday show. I might. Who knows? Hello to Pitt. Bye.